What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are back recording. It is February 4th. It is a Wednesday night, and this is episode number 274 or 274th tailgate. Tonight, we are discussing Texas Tech's recent struggles in basketball. We're going to start off on the good side of things with a victory over Houston since the last time we talked to you guys. We had a big victory there, but since then, a couple tough defeats. So we'll dive into some Texas Tech basketball here shortly, a little bit of Texas Tech football news, and then our final shots before we get out for the week. So with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, well, the Red Raiders were doing pretty dang good the last time we talked to you guys, and then they followed that up with a big victory over Houston with College Game Day in town, a snowstorm in town, and then had a bye week. And then since the bye week, things have not gone great as the Red Raiders fall in Orlando to UCF, and then fall in a close one, in a shorthanded one at home to Kansas. So we've got three games to kind of discuss, so we're going to go kind of through each one of them. Let's start on a high note with Texas Tech's victory over Houston. Now that it's been a little bit of time past, Dustin, it was a fun Saturday at the USA. It was a packed house despite bad weather. Really, the worst of the weather hadn't hit really until kind of the end of the game when the snow really started coming down, but it was a fun victory for the Red Raiders. The last time they won, a 90-86 victory, high scoring game over Houston. Your thoughts when you look back on this, the big time victory?
Yeah, it was a great game, great crowd. I mean, not quite a sellout, but maybe a 1,000 or so seats empty, which is very good for all the sleet the Friday before and some snow. Luckily, they moved it up, so we got out of there when the snowballs were coming down. So, overall, really great, really fun game. I mentioned it, 2 weeks ago that I hope we have a different offensive game plan for how they're going to attack us and Christian Anderson, and we did.
Yeah.
It was much better. They still, really zoned in on Anderson in that game and didn't let him get going, but he was much better still attacking a little more and able to distribute and get the ball to Toppin. And that just made such a big difference. We were able to move and score, I think, the most points Sampson's ever given up in the first half at Houston at 55.
Yeah.
And then to put up 90 on a Kelvin Sampson Houston team is pretty dang good. So yeah, overall, very good, fun game. Yeah, I mean, Toppin did work getting their bigs in trouble. That was a little bit of Anderson, too, running those pick and rolls. Snack didn't see the floor a ton. Joseph Tugler was in trouble. That helped us.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have officials that officiated a Houston basketball game really well and not let them hit us and bump us and tackle us as they like to do. So I'll end my kind of rant there.
Yeah, they play physical. It's two teams that were playing physical, but they were definitely, I thought there was calls both ways that were kind of questionable, sure. But they were kind of on top of it. It was a fun win, fun to beat Houston. You're like the only team that's really given them problems ever since they've entered the Big 12. I think they've had two, they had a long home win streak that you broke, and then they had like a 16-game road streak that you broke with this victory over them. So that's something to hang your hat on. It's another top-notch victory on the season that you get to add to the list of impressive things you've done. Offensively, it was way more offensive game than I think you thought. Most time when you think Houston and Texas Tech, your thing is going to be kind of a slugfest. grind it out type of game, which was that case when you played at Houston. But yeah, both offenses were firing. Kingston Flemings was going off. JT Toppin going off. You had, yeah, Kingston Flemings puts up 42 points on you by design. We find out later. We find out through some Chris Level on the Locked On Texas Tech podcast discussing that was kind of the game plan, is the, if Kingston Flemings beat you, okay, but then that kind of quiets everybody else. And it was him, and it was Emmanuel Sharp who had 20 points, and everybody else Sharp didn't score.
Had a few buckets. Only thing on Flemings, yes, he's a really good player. Probably a top five draft pick coming out. Definitely top 10, really good, especially as a freshman. He's a little bit of a free throw merchant, and SGA foul bait, breaks his neck, acts like he's getting hit by a bus every time he's going through the lane. So, like, he didn't earn all those free throws. Some of them, sure, but not all of them. But, yeah, interesting that we were going to give him tough twos and not let him drain threes on us and not let everybody else kind of get in the rhythm either.
Yeah, it's something I've noticed with this freshman class. Like, Kingston Flint, because we've gotten to see three straight freshmen now and that are going to be, like, top lottery picks, and DeBonsa, I thought, was trying to draw fouls. He didn't get many calls, thank goodness.
Played him well, yeah.
Kingston Flemings, like, even at the very end when he shoots that three, like, they finally, you know, we didn't really get to see it in the arena when it happened. We just kind of were like, okay, yes, they called it, and then we get home, and then somebody posts the photo, and his leg is so far out there. That is just ridiculous, man. So really good call by their official to –
Yep. And there was, like, that. I rewatched the game, I think the next morning, and there's only like 30 seconds left in the game here.
Yeah, it's a huge point
of
the game.
That's a massive call. Made it on the fly, obviously, and nailed it too. Cause I was like, oh my God, that's a huge call. You don't see very often. It was a great, accurate call, and somebody had an amazing picture of it.
Yeah, great picture. Completely not normal basketball play. It's just, something that players try to do now is just try to draw these bullshit plays. And Darren Peterson was trying to do the same thing against us successfully, I might add, a few times. But, I thought, you know, it was a really fun game offensively. You had several guys. JT Toppin with 31 points. You had Jalen Petty, who was really good for you, 18 points. Donovan Atwell hit some clutch threes. You had a he hit back-to-back threes for you that really swung the game, were a big reason why you won this one. Christian Anderson had 12 points, 9 assists, kind of doing what he does. Another one of those weird Lawan game, Watts games, where he just has 3 points and kind of a no-show. And then kind of one of the big storylines is you got Josiah Mosley back in this one, first time seeing him. And he comes out and he drills his first two threes of his career in this game. The threes were falling.
And right before that, got an offensive rebound and kicked it out for a three.
Yes, that
contributed
too,
to 9 points very quickly.
That, and six total rebounds, that assist that you talked about. So he came in and gave you 10 impactful minutes, I thought, which was much needed. Tyree Bryan, he only had 2 points, but he was very good for you defensively. And that, 2 points was a very huge layup in a close game at the time. It was a big possession, strong drive by him. So I thought this was just a really good performance by, the majority of your guys. And it was kind of one of the performances that you needed from everybody to step up and get this big win over Houston.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was a good crowd. Blackout, big win. Game day was there. The energy was awesome. It was just really loud. The crowd was engaged the entire game, which you expect at the USA for that kind of performance. Unfortunately, it was too cold to want to get up in the morning and go to College Game Day, so I enjoyed it from the warmth of my home on the couch, but getting to the game, seeing that happen, definitely worth it. But now we got to shift our focus to the not-so-fun side of the last two Texas Tech basketball games. Two losses. After having quite the stretch of play, you got the Duke victory, you got the BYU and Houston victories, feeling pretty good about yourself, trending upwards, seeing you start to rise to a 3 seed. And then you got a tricky one against the UFC Knight or UCF Knights. Apologies. a team that for some reason, the Grant McCaslin there, you just struggled against. You're 1-2 against them so far heading into Orlando, and they trip you up again, getting the 88-80 victory over you. You never looked really engaged in this one. They were out hustling you, out rebounding you, just out fighting you, and you just kind of seemed like you're okay with that happening there. Every time you felt like you were trying, the game was shifting, they'd get a good offensive rebound and a put back, and you were just never able to break through in this one. Dustin, your thoughts on what was a very frustrating Saturday in Orlando? And apparently, you know, the Red Raiders, we just can't travel to Florida, I guess. It just hasn't been successful for us out there recently.
Yeah, we don't play them well ever in basketball these last, you know, since they joined the Big 12. It's weird. I don't know. We just don't take them seriously or what. But
yeah, I don't know.
It sucked to let Devin Cambridge get one on us. Yeah, I mean, this game, your offense was never smooth. I don't know what the deal was with it, but it just never was smooth ball movement or a play or anything really. And it's like that part was weird. And like, it was just a 4-point game all second half.
Yeah.
you couldn't break through. You got to two every now and then, and they'd get it back to 4 or 5. And it'd be a 7-point and then back to 4. And so like, you just couldn't break through. And the biggest part, I mean, the defense was pretty much the same as it's been. It's okay. Sometimes better than other times. It was the rebounding in this game. You let them get 13 offensive rebounds. So that's an extra possession on a missed shot. And they scored 21 of their points off of that. A third of their points basically came off offensive rebound, second chance points. Like, that's what's crazy and unacceptable and sucks.
And the bizarre part is you just like dominated Houston on the glass.
Rebound.
Like, which is weird because that's a team that you know is like a hard team to rebound against. But
that's the thing. You can't use the excuse like of our size and no bigs and all that because we've been playing like that all year.
Yeah, Houston's just as big.
We out-rebound plenty of teams, and that's usually what we have to do to win games. And you definitely can't get blown out on the boards and second chance like this and expect to come back and win a game or let the other team, you know, we kind of gave it to them basically. So that's just, I mean, I'm sure that is some great coaching points for that staff when they get back in the gym and get on their ass about it.
Yeah.
But it just, it sucks to see, you know, that kind of effort by one team and not by yours.
Yeah, it sucks on the road, especially because that's where you got to fight and you got to get that those little extra hustle plays. And I swear, every time the ball was loose, they got it. You'd be right there. They get it. You know, you had a play at the end where you're down by two and Jalen Petty gets a steal. And instead of just, you know, trying to slow things down a little bit, gets going a little too fast, ball gets poked out and goes right back to UCF. It just every time the ball seemingly was going to bounce your way, UCF would go out there and grab it. And they're not a bad basketball team. I mean, they got pummeled tonight against Houston on the road. That'll happen to teams. But this is a better UCF Knight team. They're most likely going to be in the tournament. So it's not like you're a bad loss or anything. It's just a game where you felt like you're a better team than them. They just kind of punked you. They were physical. Yeah. You let them play the kind of game that they've thought they had to do to beat you, and you just kind of let them get away with it. And that was the frustrating part watching on Saturday. It was just, man, what are we doing out there? And once again, another loss to UCF. You're now 1-3 total against them. I think you've lost 3 straight games against them. So I don't know what it is. Maybe this is, you know, Leach always struggled against like Colorado.
Missouri
gold teams.
These damn gold and black teams
for some reason just have numbers on Texas Tech, and now for us it seems to be UCF.
And also me going to the reserve, I think I'm 1-4 at that place.
Yeah, it hasn't been kind to me lately either. I thought I was remember the last time I watched us win there. Now that I think, no, I was there for the Drake game.
We got a win against Oklahoma 2 years ago. I think that's my only one in basketball.
I was there for the Drake tournament game that we won.
I was there for the Maryland or whatever game we lost. Who was that?
Illinois. 2 years ago. Oh, no. Yeah, NC State. We were there at NC State.
I knew it was a freaking red team. Yeah, I was there for that one. Lost.
Which sucks because Reserve does it right. They know how to do game days there. Unfortunately, we apparently don't win there. I also watched us lose the Orange Bowl there. So, you know, might be staying away from there for a little while. Not because I don't like the place, but yeah, just a sucky one, and one that you're hoping to bounce back from. Turn around. You know you got a big one coming up on Big Monday with the Kansas Jayhawks coming to town, Darren Peterson coming to town, and you don't know what you're going to get from Darren Peterson. Hasn't played, I think he's played in one game all year where he's made it from the start to the finish until freaking Monday night where he comes out and he plays the second full
game. His most minutes of the year was against us.
Most minutes of the year. 35 minutes in the game. Two huge threes down the stretch to beat you. This one was a weird one, especially because about 15 to 20 minutes before tip, we get a text message saying, hey, Christian Anderson's out tonight. And you're like, wait, what? That changes just about everything for this team. He's obviously, him and JT Toppin are your best two players. So not having him on the court, all of a sudden you're kind of like, what's this going to be? Not really sure what's going on with him. Is it sick? Is it injury? I heard he got banged up a little bit in the UCF game. So you're just kind of trying to figure out what's the deal with him. Then there's maybe he's coming back in the second half. He comes out, kind of does a little bit of the warm-ups, but never gets in the game. So you're down. You're one of your two best players. But you battled in this one, and it was close throughout. And you gave yourself a 10-point lead there in the second half, feeling pretty good about it. Jazz Henderson hits a three. Jazz Henderson playing, I didn't have on my bingo card for this game, let alone hitting a three.
Seven minutes,
and he was solid in his time. Except for
Jazz
that.
Jazz and Petty on the floor at the same time for most of the 7 minutes, too.
Except for that one drive where he went to the basket, and I think he was like, what do I do here? Air ball's a floater. That's okay, Jazz. We forgive you because he hit the three. You know, he come up short, 64-61. Kansas able to pull off the win in Lubbock, your first loss at the USA this season. A tough one, but it's still like one of those games where it's like, okay, you find out Christian Anderson's not playing right before the game. I thought you competed pretty well. I thought this is a game you win, obviously, if you have him. And so I don't really know what to make of this game. Otherwise, you kind of blew it down the stretch. And, you know, LaJuan Watts making some incredibly tough plays down the stretch for you.
We'll come back to that at the end of our discussion, I think.
Yeah, so your thoughts on the you couldn't make it, but your thoughts from the loss on Monday night.
Yeah, I'll be quick because I've missed most of the game. Had our own SPC games that I was taking stats for. So I was trying to keep up in the corner of my eye, but yeah, it's weird not having Anderson, and the coaching staff didn't know. So they kind of just shifted Petty into that role, gave Tyree Bryant all those other minutes and kind of just rolled with what we usually do. I think there's a game plan, a little bit of let LaJuan shoot the ball from a defensive standpoint. I don't know. I rewatched the end of that just to see kind of some of our fumble plays there. And yeah, we were up 10 with 10 minutes and you felt great. Yeah, Peterson played the whole second half, which was stupid. Hasn't done that all year. And you played against him really well up until those last two or three possessions. He made some ridiculous shots.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say like he played that bad. He just made ridiculous shots that you expect to see made from a potential first overall draft pick.
The one from the corner that they did like the double screen on, Toppin read it and played it perfect.
Yeah.
And Peterson just made like a double clutch weird shot to get it over Toppin and drained it. And then his one to win the game was like crazy deep, and he just pulled it, you know? So it's like good defense, better play. You shouldn't have been in that position because you were up five with a minute 20 left. And then you just got a great call on a challenge.
Or you're up by three before that. You're up by three because then that's right after is when Peterson hits the tying three.
Yeah, you're up three, and you just win a challenge. All you do is get the ball in. They're going to try to foul you or get a steal. And Lawan Watts just turns around and doesn't help get the ball up the court. And it's just mind-boggling to, like we were saying Saturday, his, you know, 2K sliders, his awareness level is at like 10.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And I tweeted it out because, you know, a lot of people are mad. I'm like, he's a good player, but he also is good for a few dumb plays a game.
Like really dumb.
And they're, yeah, like dumb.
Like back in the UCF game before half, 10 seconds left in half.
Thank you.
You have the ball. There's no reason to take an early shot, get the last shot, and he jacks up a three with 10 seconds left.
And like,
in a game where he wouldn't pull the trigger on a three, all of a sudden he decides to jack a three with plenty of time. Gives you know, luckily UCF didn't go down a score off of it, but gives them another possession completely. You're like, what are you doing, dude? This game, yeah, he has so this play.
I'll let you go in on game stuff, and we can talk Watts in just a second because I got some stats.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it was a fun game for the majority of the game. I thought you competed really well. I thought without Christian Anderson, I was immediately like, this might not go well for you. But it does kind of show you what this team can be. You know, the fight, like Jalen Petty came out. I thought he was like ready to go at the start of the game. He kind of faded away. Donovan Atwell hit some clutch shots for you. Tyree Bryan hit a couple clutch threes. Lawan, you know, scored 19 points for you. He was your leading scorer in this game. There was a time where they couldn't really stop him in the low post until he decides to stop himself. But, you know, I thought they were good. Unfortunately, like, you know, Bamboye is still trying to get back, and I don't really know what he does for you that's positive right now. He comes in as 8 minutes, and I think he had four fouls in that span. Didn't get any rebounds for you or anything, just fouled. And so I don't really know what he's adding to the team right now. I know it's kind of weird because now you're fully healthy and you're trying to figure out how to get these guys back in.
No other stats.
Mosley, I don't know what was up with him in this game. He plays 4 minutes, doesn't really do much. He came in and didn't play the rest. We're playing Jazz Henderson over him, which is odd, who hits a three. But, you know, I thought he competed, and that's kind of what you want to see with a man down like that, next man up kind of strategy. So, like, I'm not trying to put this as, like, a, you know, try to take the good with the bad in this. But I definitely thought as soon as Christian Anderson was out that, you know, Kansas is playing really good basketball. I think they're a pretty good team this year. And so I thought, hey, if there's a chance to win this game, that's going to be pretty impressive. And you gave yourself the chance, and it just sucks that you blew it, you know. That you didn't make the plays down the stretch. Toppin has his worst offensive game for you, stat wise. I think that's because Kansas has some pretty good defenders who size wise can kind of match up with them, and that was kind of affecting him. And so, you know, without Christian Anderson there to create the offense, and really, you know, when you're trying to stop Jalen Petty and JT Toppin, it's a little bit easier than Christian Anderson and JT Toppin in that pick and roll game. And so, you know, at times Jalen Petty kind of got a little too ahead of himself, it looked like, and didn't know what to do with the ball at points. JT Toppin struggled. Lawan Watts does Lawan Watts things, and you find yourself at the losing side of this. So let's get into the Lawan Watts conversation, because I know he's a major topic of discussion on the Twitterverse, and a lot of fans. I'm not gonna lie, he's a very frustrating player to me. I don't hate him. I think he's a good player, but it's the guys who I know who are good who make these just dumbfounding plays that cost you games, that just frustrate you the most. And I think, like, so far this year, in a lot of the games you've lost, he's made several of the dumb kind of key plays that have contributed to you losing those games. This one, especially coming here, everybody in the arena knows, get it to JT and get him the ball back. You don't want JT taking the ball up. You don't want JT getting fouled and having to go to the free throw line. You want the ball in Lawan or Jalen Petty's hands, and for Lawan to just throw the ball to JT and just completely like forget what's going on is just that's a mental mistake that you can't make at this level, and it immediately kills you because that's when they hit the three to tie the game. They come back, momentum's gone, just terrible.
But to kind of pile on what you were saying, because it's all exactly right. Every game for the last 2 months, when they're hounding Anderson all the way up the floor, who helps bring the ball up?
Lawan.
Like, this is a normal thing also.
Yeah.
That's what's also crazy. He should be used to this.
Yeah, he's so like a point forward for us like the other times in the game. Like, it's him or it's Christian. Like, and we run a lot of offense through him.
Way back there, I can totally see why he would just run up the floor and have his back to the ball. But this is somebody that throws the ball in a lot of times and then gets the ball back and brings the ball up the floor a lot of times.
Yeah. And I mean, they're pressing. And you know they're pressing. And you know you got to have your eye on the ball. You can't just take your head off. As just that. And then, man, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy miss as many like open layups. Yeah. And things like him, it's just baffling to watch. He has the one, you know, in the Houston game on the road, he has just like that absurd wide open layup that he misses. And then he gets his rebound and misses the putback. I think he had one here in the Houston game in Lubbock where he has a open layup and misses it. And in this game, he has a couple possessions down the stretch where he finds himself like kind of with an easy shot and just somehow overshoots it. He's just a confusing player. Like, when he's really good, he can be really good. But when he's really bad, he makes really bad decisions that are backbreaking decisions for you. And you just can't have that, man. That's the worst part, is like make a mistake here or there, but you're making mistakes that are literally costing you games. I'm almost, you know, we almost lost that Colorado game because of like two or three plays from him down the stretch too. So I just like, there's time and time again where he comes up with these stupid plays that are just unreal to watch a D1 player at this level make. I don't remember the times that I've seen guys at this level make plays like some of the ones he has. And that's the problem that I'm starting to have with him. It's one time, okay, but it's becoming game after game after game where he has these moments.
Yeah, he's good for a missed layup or missed 4-footer at least once a game, maybe twice. I don't have those exact
stats. I would say two a game. Two a game at least.
I don't have those exact stats in front of me from like 4 feet in, but they're not great. But I do have just his field goal percentage of the last three games. Oof is right. Because you might be like, ooh, Kansas. He had 19 points, I think it was.
Yeah, but he was 8 for 22.
He was 8 for 22. That's 36%. And 2 for 7 on threes. So they were letting him shoot it and let it fly. And those are awful.
I'm pretty sure there was like a stretch of the game where he took like 6-7 straight shots for us. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we don't want 8 for 22 out of anybody. That's like old Pop Isaac's crap. And then UCF, he was 3 for 9. And Houston was 0 for 8. So in the last three games, he's 11 for 39, shooting 28% from the field.
Is that bad?
That's not great from your guy. You want to be your number three and has the ball in his hands quite a bit. Yeah. I don't know where to go with that. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was Kansas's game plan. Like, hey, we're going to let this guy shoot the ball. We're going to give him open threes. Also, he also shot fakes so many wide open threes.
He shot fakes nobody because they don't fall for it.
Oh, they're just closing
out. He does the old Pat Knight, just you better pump fake everything.
It's freaking ridiculous. I mean, in the UCF game, you had to take him out. You literally could not play him down the stretch. You had to. That's why Josiah Mosley had so many minutes. It was like, oh, he's coming in and actually doing a positive for you. Like, you could not play Lawant. You kind of had to play him here in this game because you didn't have Christian Anderson, and you couldn't just rely on Jalen Petty with the ball the entire time. You needed somebody else, and it was working at points. Like, there was times where it was pretty tough for Kansas to defend. They didn't really have a guy who could match his size, and it's just annoying that he couldn't take advantage of it consistently. You know, this is where the Darian Williams becomes a miss here, because that's where he excelled, was he can take advantage of those matchups, and he's more times than not going to finish around the rim. He's also a better shooter, but like, that's the kind of thing that you miss in this game, is that ability for him to just take over. Hey, Toppin doesn't have it tonight. They're D'ing him up really well. We don't have Christian Anderson. This is on me, and he just can't really like shoulder that load. He's not that good enough offensively, I think, to do it.
He's not that good enough, but he's also not that experienced enough.
That too, yeah.
You were trading a guy that's going to be a fifth or sixth year senior, whatever Darian was going to be, and you got a second year guy who's not even legal to drink yet. You know, like, think of that.
Yeah, who's also, who's coming from Washington State.
You have a guy that just hasn't been in big games against these massive teams, and or 14,000 people all the time, and it gets to him a little bit, and that's totally understandable when he's that young, but we need him to grow up a little faster, and that's the frustrating part, I think, for most fans. They don't take that, the experience factor, and being able to handle that into accountability here.
Yeah, I think I agree with that to some extent. I think at this point in the season, it's like, all right, we know what to expect of you.
Sure.
This reminds me of, you know, probably every high school had that kid who was like would always forget his like basketball shoes and his jersey. And you'd basically have to have a teammate make sure he has all of his stuff. Yeah. And he was just that kind of guy who would like go out and he'd have,
hey, where's your mouse?
Where's this? Where's that? Make sure he has his stuff. But you got to, because you need him to have his stuff, because he's good enough to go win you some basketball games.
Yes.
But then he's also going to make like five plays a game where like, dude, what are you thinking? And that's Lawant. And he's like, he goes into these stretches where he's playing like pickup ball at the rec. And he's just like, I'm doing whatever. I'm the best player on the court, so I'm just going to throw it. I'm going to shoot. Wait, no, I'm throwing a noob. Like, he doesn't even know what he's thinking as he's processing it.
Yeah, his
and his teammates are like, I don't know what you're doing either. And JT Toppin's like, is he shooting it? Yes. And then Lawan's like, no, I'm throwing a noob.
Sometimes
and
his controller hits the wrong button.
Yeah, yeah. He's got like the big thumb.
Yeah, so I shot from half court. Damn it.
Yeah.
Meant to pass that.
Yeah. Crap. You know, but then you'll have like the game against Duke where he was awesome for you, you know. And so it's just like, he needs to be more consistent. He needs to put better stretches together. And he's going to be definitely relied on to do that down the stretch here. But, you know, luckily, one of the things is you're back to kind of full health here. Hopefully Christian Anderson's fine. Having the game Monday and not having to play again until Sunday is nice. But you got Josiah Mosley and Luke Mamboye back in the fold. So, hopefully you're able to figure out how to tinker the lineups a little bit better to help this team. Hopefully Mamboye can get you some more minutes where he's not just out there to foul.
Yeah.
But you know, you're finally kind of where you thought your roster was going to be for the first time. Let's see what that actually ends up doing for the Red Raiders. Matchup against the West Virginia Mountaineers in West Virginia coming up on Super Bowl Sunday. So an early game on that Sunday to kind of get you primed and ready for the Super Bowl. Any other basketball tidbits you got for us this week?
No, let's get back on track there.
Let's get back on track, get back into the win column. We got West Virginia and Colorado coming up. It was announced today that when Colorado comes to town next Wednesday, it is going to be a throwback game. So I'm curious to see what kind of throwbacks we're going with in that game.
Did you see the Cavs wore LeBron throwbacks.
Oh, yeah, for LeBron.
Were
yeah.
the 06 LeBron jerseys against him?
They've been wearing those jerseys a lot.
That's just kind of funny, though.
Yeah. And then they beat him. That will do it for our Texas Tech basketball discussion for the week. Real quick football news that dropped today. As Arnell Fitch and Texas Tech have parted ways. I don't know if that's a firing. I don't know if that's him moving on. I've heard that this was kind of expected, but at the same time, not really sure about that. But Zarnell, one of your defensive line coach, is now gone. So that opens up a position for a new defensive line coach to come in here. And that's obviously one of the strong points of your team last year that you're trying to replicate this year. Your thoughts on the departure from Coach Big Z?
Yeah, the wording of that was weird, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, does he have something set up?
It's like, does he got another job?
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of joking, thinking in my own head, like, I wouldn't want to coach again either after not having Lee Hunter and Skylar Gilhoward. Like, go out on that. Go to the NFL
Reach the peak of it all.
The good thing is for Texas Tech, like, he's been here with Joey since the start, kind of helped get things going. Obviously had a great team last year in D-line. You brought in a lot of good players again this year. And you got Jalen Brewster coming in 2 years. Like, that should attract a good coach as well, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a more high-profile, talented job than what it was 4 years ago. And honestly, at any point in the most recent modern Texas Tech. So, like, that's what I'm excited about is who we get to fill that in. Maybe Shil Woods brings a guy. I don't know. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, weird on one end, but also, like, very optimistic on the other end because of who we have.
Yeah, same. I'm not going to be too worried. I think, like you said, it's a job that I think a lot of people are going to be excited to get. I think you've got a pretty good bunch there to coach up this year, too. I'm not super worried about it. Just, one of those kind of weird things. So that happened that we're figured we might as well mention on the football front. Like I said, we'll eventually get to breaking down the transfer class kind of once we're officially through all of that, which I think we're right around the corner as the transfer portal kind of most pieces have been set. So in the future, we'll dive back into football when it's a little slower on this end, basketball wise. But that kind of does it for our Texas Tech discussion for sports this week. So before we get on out of here, let's do our final shots for the week. So there we go. Dustin, what's your final shot for us?
Oh, this is an easy one. One of the best days in Mavericks history. Again, almost a year later, after one of the worst in Mavericks history, Mavericks traded Anthony Davis and got his ass out of town. And also Nico Harrison for making us do this. Also props to the new GM for making this happen in a year, his year's time. Like, getting out of Anthony Davis, who's been
really not even a year, because he took over for Nico like not too long ago. So
yeah. Like, crazy that you can turn that around that great. And like, you have so much room in the next couple years. Got draft picks that you couldn't get in the Luka trade. That doesn't make sense, but way to go there.
Yeah. So like, when you look at the first round picks, they're kind of not as good as you think just because.
Yeah, you can throw those in and try to move up at some point and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God they got out of that. And like, they can move around a lot of pieces in the next couple years. And their salary cap's going to be opened up. And now they can start the Cooper Flag era and building around him. And it's kind of a fresh restart, and you can go back to being Mavs fans.
Yeah, I like it for the Mavs.
Definitely.
I like it to get rid of that, but at the same time, it's still like, man, that's what you traded Luka for, and he's already gone, which is the most embarrassing part of the trade, again, is that you're trading Luka for Anthony Davis, a guy who is already kind of past his prime and always injured player. And that's basically been his stint with the Mavs, was just immediately getting injured and just being injured.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you get some pieces. You lucked into the Cooper Flagg thing. And so now you get a potential generational piece that you can build around. And it's time to just wipe the slate clean and try to build around Cooper Flagg and see what you can do. And so not terrible for them. Trade deadline so far, you've had Jaren Jackson Jr. go to the Jazz. It's kind of been like a funny trade deadline so far. Tomorrow, of course, being the actual trade deadline.
A lot happened on Wednesday
With teams that you don't ever really like were thinking at all were going to be really involved in this. The Wizards getting Anthony Davis, Cavs getting James Harden, and the Jazz getting Jaren Jackson Jr., which, you know, not terrible for the Jazz. Like, you got a pretty good player. So I don't know. Interesting. We'll see if anything else happens. The James Harden thing, shocking to me, that James Harden would get traded again. I guess he didn't ask out of LA. So I guess this one we won't blame on James Harden, but
okay.
But I'll be curious to see if Giannis gets traded tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, but we'll have to wait till the off season. But I guess him and Ja Morant are the kind of the two pieces that you're really watching to see if they get dealt before the deadline. Can't really think of anybody else right now that big name value.
No.
My final shot, the Lady Raiders beating number 12 TCU on Sunday. Bounce back win for them after a great start to the season, kind of a couple bumps in the road, but bounce back with a big win to knock off TCU at home on Sunday. So a nice win for the Lady Raiders, who continue to have a really nice season, and looks like these ladies are going to make the tournament for the first time in a while. So looks like we got a couple March Madness things to keep our eyes out for as March is around the corner. It's almost that time of year. So we will be here each week, or depending on schedules, we'll try to hop in, make sure that we're talking Texas Tech hoops, keeping you up to date with what's going on and our thoughts as the Big 12 conference resumes and March Madness nears around the corner. That will do it for us this week. We hope you guys enjoy your weekends. Enjoy the Sunday basketball game and enjoy the Super Bowl. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.